Hi, and welcome to the Men We Need podcast with Jonathan Doyle. You've got questions, he's got answers. No matter what stage of life you're in, the best is yet to come. Welcome aboard.
Well, hi, I'm Jonathan Doyle at The Men We Need, and it's fantastic to have this opportunity to be sharing some content with you. We've got a person that we're going to be speaking with today who I'm sure you're going to find really interesting, and a man who's really been involved at the coalface of a lot of the big issues for men for many years. The guest we're going to introduce you to on this podcast is Patrick O'Connor. And Patrick's been speaking and leading workshops and men's groups and retreats on issues around the masculine journey since 2005. He's worked in radio and TV and been in business development for over 20 years and belonged to his own sort of men's group for at least 10 years, which is an outstanding effort given how difficult it can be for any of us as men to make that time for those things that are so important. And sure, some of you appreciate this. He has a black belt in Zen martial arts and meditation, and try joining those two. And sure, Patrick will give us some insight into the links there. And that's from the Canadian Rocky Zen Martial Arts Center. And just to keep something else interesting in the mix, he's been associated for quite a few years with the Cistercian Monastery of Our Lady of the Hockley Valley near Toronto. So we're speaking to Patrick in Canada this evening. He's been very good to stay up late and talk to us from the other side of the world. So Patrick, welcome to the Men We Need podcast.
Wonderful to be here, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Well, we had the chance to speak briefly a few weeks back, and it's always great to meet people even right over the other side of the world who obviously have a passion for many of the issues that men are facing. And in that conversation, we touched on some of that. So tell us a little bit first about the work you do. You have a fantastic website, The Masculine Journey, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But bring everybody up to speed. Tell us a little bit about the website and about your journey and about the work you do.
Well, the website is meant to engage men and women in the issues surrounding masculinity, spirituality. And it's meant to break down a lot of the cultural barriers that we have in our culture around what it means to be a man. And so the website takes kind of a secular approach to things, but if you read it deeply, you'll see that I'm a devout Christian and practicing Catholic. So
where did this start? I mean, most men that have an interest in this sort of work normally have a fascinating story behind it. So tell us a little bit about, of all the possible things you could have done in this world. You know, you could have been a synchronized swimming coach. You could have done any number of things. But where's the heartbeat of Patrick O'Connor in this kind of work? How did it happen?
Well, you know, Jonathan, that's a long story. I'm not entirely sure where I could start. I was brought up in a very good Christian Catholic family. And when I got into university, I studied political science. And in studying a lot of the problems of the world, I became a little bit jaded, I think is a good word, or cynical. I met a professor by the name of Bob Melvin. And Bob was one of the first real teachers that I had. And he was more interested in what we had to say and what we thought about the world situation than in getting us to regurgitate what Socrates and Aristotle or Marx had to say about things. And what it did is it sent me on a path of questioning and of searching. And the more I searched, the more I started to understand that in order to come into truth, we need to come into ourselves as persons, as men. And so I found Robert Bly's book, Iron John, and I read that and I absolutely loved it. And so from there, I met a Zen master in Kenmore, Alberta, and I worked with him for 2 years. I studied martial arts. I practiced martial arts with him, but he taught me meditation, Zen meditation. And and so from there, I started to read Catholic mysticism, St. John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila, and I became more and more interested in Cistercian spirituality or Christian mysticism. And after a difficult time, my teacher sent me away, and I ended up doing a pilgrimage across Canada and ended up at a Trappist monastery in Orangeville. You mentioned Hockley Heights. Yeah. And the superior there was a wonderful man, and we talked and talked and talked. And the next thing I knew, I realized that my spiritual journey was really and truly about finding God. And that's a lot to say there, Jonathan.
It's fascinating. It's eclectic is one word. There's, you know, so many different parts to the journey, but you can, listening to you, sort of, there is a sense of cohesiveness in this was all moving you somewhere. Hearing you talk about the Zen stuff, I mean, I've been poisoned. I remember the Simpsons episode where Bart makes fun of, you know, when the tree falls in the forest, does anybody hear it? So I'm sure the people listening to this have all sorts of associations with the mystery surrounding Zen. And so before we get into more on the men's work, I mean, tell us a little bit about that. Give us an insight into the Zen side of things. I mean, and how that sort of eventually, does that still bear relevance in your interest in men's work?
Yes, it does. I discovered after a number of years with my Buddhist teacher that I wasn't, in fact, a Zen Buddhist. But the practice of Zen Buddhism is fascinating. And I think the things that it taught me how to center myself. It taught me how to listen on an interior level. It taught me how to become aware of the differences between what one thinks and what feels and what is actually the truth. And that may sound a little esoteric, if you will, but you see, in terms of men's work, much of the masculine journey, in my opinion, is understanding what we think and what we feel about things, but also understanding that what we think may be wrong and what we feel may not be appropriate.
It's fascinating listening to you, because I'm joining some dots in, you know, my own work, working with, you know, 30 to 40,000 young men and older men each year. Emotional literacy is something that we are, with exceptions, spectacularly struggling with. You know, the actual ability to understand our emotional world, to act appropriately, to filter it. It's, you know, we sort of assume that we'll just automatically know how to do this. But it occurs to me that without training in it, men, you know, looking at your website again, it sort of highlights in one area that we're driven by powerful emotions, whether they're anger, rage, depression, confusion. And it's interesting talking about the ability to separate or to be centered and reflect on the difference between what we feel and what we think, and just I guess being able to be a bit more literate in those areas.
Yeah, you know, it's a great expression you just used, Jonathan. Emotional literacy. In one of the programs that I'm putting together, I'm calling it The Politics of Emotions. And you see, it comes down to what Rene Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. Hmm. Well, he was spectacularly, in my opinion, spectacularly wrong in associating himself with what he thinks and what he feels. Because I think a mature man, a mature person, understands that they might not have the right information to be thinking what correctly, and they might be influenced by old pains, for example, in what they're feeling. And so, to me, in terms of directly the masculine journey, it's important to have people in our lives, be it a counselor or a spiritual director or a men's group, with whom one can think out loud and be criticized and challenged and feel openly, so that one can clear out inappropriate or just immature emotional positions on things.
It's just fascinating listening to you, and it's part of the privilege of doing this, and hopefully being able to do this with you regularly.